This is one that I'm really, really pumped up about because he's just got a new book that came out, The Life and Death of a Yankee Captain, Munson. This first gentleman, Marty Appel, wrote this book, and 30 years ago, he also wrote, and I have this, when I was given this, I think, as a birthday or Christmas present as a small child, the original book written by Thurman Munson. You can even see that the cover is a little bit dog-eared here. Thurman Munson's autobiography with the part that was written at the end by our first guest here, and he had the sad duty of writing sort of an epilogue to the book after the plane crash, which was 30 years ago next week. Hard to believe, but it's a pleasure to have on the show Marty Appel here tonight. We welcome you to the FDH Lounge, sir. It's great to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me, and I love speaking to an Ohio audience particularly.
Well, we are based out of Ohio. That is our headquarters, and there are a lot of people here. I tell you again, the name Thurman Munson, and particularly sitting in northeastern Ohio, it still rings pretty loudly to this day. I would dare say, Marty, between here and the metro New York area, I mean, those are probably the two greatest hubs of interest for your most recent subject.
Yes, absolutely. But I was pleased to see that its sales are strong nationally. And it's actually the number one selling sports book in America right now, which caught me by surprise. I really thought there'd be more just local interest.
Well, that's awesome. That really, well, actually, and I tell you what, I plan to ask you this as a later question in the interview, but let's just skip to it right now. Let's cut to that one. What is it that makes Thurman Munson such an icon to this day? Because in talking to people and in letting some people know that you were going to be on the show tonight, I heard from a lot of people. I didn't expect to hear, oh, Thurman Munson, and, you know, an icon of my childhood, blah, blah, blah. I mean, what makes him stand out to so many people the way that he still does 30 years later?
Well, a lot of elements, beginning with the Yankee brand itself. I mean, Yankees sort of exceed or surpass all other teams in terms of national interest. And then he was the captain of a two-time World Championship club, so we had that national World Series exposure in those big series against the Dodgers in the 70s. And, of course, the tragedy of him being an active player, a family man with three small children who died in the middle of the season in 1979 in a plane crash. So those are some pretty dramatic forces at work there.
The thing that's kind of odd about this as well, and I've tried to just kind of re-immerse myself a little bit in his career just to prepare to talk to you here tonight, on a personal level, I mean, it is such an immense tragedy. It strikes me in a purely objective way, on a sports level, it seems to me to be one of these odd kind of things where you can't look at him like Lyman Bostic or some of these other guys where they had this big tableau still ahead of them. I didn't even realize until I was rereading some of this stuff just how much he really was winding down at the end. So even Clemente, who got his 3,000th hit, you could still look at him and say that he maybe had a little bit more in the tank. Thurman Munson, it's a tragedy on a personal level, but as far as professionally, I mean, he got almost every bit of juice out of that rind, it seems to me.
I think he could have played another 5 or 6 years, but probably not as a catcher anymore. His arthritic knees had kind of worn down. He played his last game ever at first base. And I think if he had gone on to sign another contract, it would have been as a DH or first baseman or maybe an outfielder. But we did probably witness the big years of his career.
Well, and on a baseball level, that's what I kind of wonder about. And actually, the way that baseball is, it's timeless. There's always examples throughout the ages that sort of recycle themselves. You look at somebody like Victor Martinez. Granted, he's probably 3, 4, maybe 5 years away from having to move to another position, but the rub is, in looking ahead at him, he loses value as a first baseman or a DH. Thurman Munson, great bat for a catcher, elite in the history of the game, but you start putting him at first base and DH and everything, and he's still a great leader, but as a hitter, I mean, he's just another guy at that point, is he not?
You could make that case. I mean, he was never going to be a 35 home run guy. So if he's a first baseman and he's hitting 13 home runs, right, he's not going to win the All-Star voting and be one of the elite players at his position. So, yeah, the argument could certainly be made that in his 10 years that he did get in, we saw him at his best, and now there were going to be diminishing returns.
And again, and I'm sure that looking at it professionally, that is of no consolation whatsoever, I think, to anybody personally. I'd like to retrace, Marty, and go back. You know, 30 years ago, I was a little kid getting ready for a little league game that night when I got the news. I mean, it was kind of an odd thing. And if I remember correctly, I think I might have even been a catcher at the time. So I happened to be on a ball diamond where I got the news. I didn't have any personal ties to the man whatsoever. You clearly did. And collaborating with him on his autobiography, your personal history with him, where were you when you got the news and how did it hit you?
I was working at Major League Baseball at the time. I had been the Yankees PR director really throughout his whole career. But at that point, I had moved over to MLB and received a phone call from George Steinbrenner, who was trying to get through to the commissioner. So I can still hear in my head the grief-stricken voice of shock that George Steinbrenner had. This was a terrible blow to him. They were very close. They were a couple of Ohio guys that liked to talk business and talk baseball, and it was a remarkably difficult thing for everybody involved.
It really had to be, and one of the things, too, that your new book on him really kind of brought to light, and I don't know that at the time it was really that well understood, and certainly by the time that you had written your epilogue to his autobiography, but it has since emerged, I guess, in the last three decades that notwithstanding the whole public image, he and Reggie Jackson did, I mean, even if it wasn't a thing where they were hugging each other on a regular basis, they did at least come to some kind of mutual respect in the end, did they not?
Yeah, they did. In 1979, Thurman's last year, Reggie flew to Canton for a testimonial dinner in his honor. Reggie flew with Thurman a little bit a few weeks before the accident in Thurman's jet. So Thurman never lost sight of the fact that Reggie was a winner and was going to take that team to greater heights, and that's why he was his biggest advocate in the first place to bring him to the Yankees. He wanted that bat behind him in the lineup. Things started shaky between the two of them when Reggie did that notorious Sport Magazine interview about being the straw that stirs the drink. So it took a while to get past that, but that season ended with Reggie hitting those three home runs in the final World Series game. Nobody's got a bigger smile on the dugout than Thurman Munson did that night.
Oh, I can believe that. Yeah, I mean, to be able to win a world championship, that was the pinnacle of his career. I wonder also, too, you raise a very interesting scenario in the book, and I'm a big fan of what-if historical scenarios, something I really hadn't thought about previously. The notion, had he lived, you get into the 1980s, the managerial carousel in New York there. I had never really considered it, but it makes perfect sense when you've got former players like Lou Piniella that were on there, as well as the rotating cast of characters like Billy Martin and Yogi Berra and Bob Lemon and everybody else. Talk about that, if you would. Thurman, as manager of that team in the 80s, and just kind of hypothesize a little bit, because, again, that was a team that just struck everybody as being significantly less than the sum of its parts. A lot of high-priced guys, no cohesiveness. A guy like Thurman, the leader that he was, do you think history might have been a little bit different in the 90s? And I'm sorry, in the 80s, and that they might have looked a little bit more like they did in the 90s with the cohesiveness had he been there?
Well, it's, of course, very hard to say. I think his turn would have come to manage had he chosen to take it. He was a natural leader, and he was a genius when it came to the game on the field. But I think he would have butted heads with Mr. Steinbrenner, as all the other guys did, too, and it probably wouldn't have lasted too long. In retrospect, I think it makes more sense to speculate that he might have managed the Cleveland Indians. That would have satisfied his need to stay near home, be with his family, manage his business interests, and he would have found a more stable environment there with management.
It would have been, yeah. I can say, as a lifelong Indians fan and somebody who lived through the 80s, I don't know that any manager could have made a difference with that crew. That's really interesting to consider him in that role. Something that struck me also, too, was your role, Marty, vis-a-vis these two books here. The earlier book where you wrote the epilogue and the memorial edition, and then this book that just came out, The Life and Death of a Yankee Captain, where you try to look at this from all sides, and that included doing some interviews with family members and everything. And everybody can still see where your sympathies lie, but you did try to give voice to all sides of this, because obviously the first book, Thurman kind of glossed over his family situation. You ended up laying a lot of that bare as far as the things that he went through, things that his siblings feel like they went through. Talk about that, if you would, your role initially, and how hard it might have been for you to step into what called to be more of an objective role as a biographer for this book.
Well, initially, I mean, an autobiography is whatever the subject wants it to be. So we delivered the book that made Thurman happy, and it was mostly about on-field pennant races and not a lot of personal stuff. People would come to me over the years and say how much they enjoyed the book, and of course I appreciated the compliment, but in my heart I knew there was a better book and a better story to be told, because what Thurman overcame is really, it's a wonderful example for many, many people who go through similar things. He had a very rocky childhood. It was not a very loving home. His three older siblings all left home as soon as they got out of high school. And Thurman found solace in the company of teammates and played sports year-round. And then he got a girlfriend when he was 12, who he eventually married. That kind of saved him, those two things, being active in sports and having this girlfriend and her family in his life. And he was determined that as an adult, he was going to have a great family life that he had been denied as a child. So the lesson there is that you can break the cycle. There can be generations of dysfunctional homes, and you can just make up your mind that it ends with that, and you're gonna snap out of that, which is what he accomplished. He left us much too young, but he did leave three great children who all live in the Canton area and are parents themselves now, and a wonderful wife who was there to raise those kids, and he accomplished that great family life he had always dreamed of.
Well, let's bring this full circle, Marty, because as you said, he's got the three children that he left behind. I know that one of them, Michael's, got a baseball-themed sports bar called Munson's Home Plate Sports Pub down in Canton there. It seems as though, unlikely though it may be, that even though he left behind that family at a young age, that he was able to make that kind of lasting impact. You don't often see that in families that suffer that kind of a loss, but I guess everything that transpired while he was still there was strong enough to leave that permanent mark, and it sounds like all of them were better off for it.
Yeah, and of course a real tribute to his wife, who was just a great lady, and took the responsibility of raising those kids herself and did a wonderful job.
Absolutely. I've never heard a bad word about her. She seems like a very special person from everything that I've ever heard. And it's a tremendous story that you wrote, Marty. The Life and Death of a Yankee Captain, Munson. I know that's out. That's your most recent book. You are up to, I believe now, 17 books. Is that correct, sir?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Two Munsons and 15 others.
Okay. Well, we always like to, and I'm holding this up for benefit of our cameras here, we always like to give our guests a chance to plug anything. Of course, as we said, this is your most recent project, but what else would you like to have the people know about, Marty, that's of immediate interest to you?
Well, I still, besides being a writer, I operate Marty Appel Public Relations out of New York, so if anybody is interested in more information about that company, it's appelpr.com. And look forward to hearing from people who've heard this evening and have a chance to read the book.
It's I've been on the website and seen it, and we've got it linked to on our show rundown here tonight. It looks like a very interesting site. You've had a very interesting and rich life overlapping with Major League Baseball. Marty, you're a man with many fascinating stories to tell. It's been a pleasure to have you on tonight. I appreciate that you were able to make room for us, and we'd love to have you back on sometime, sir.
It would be my pleasure, and thanks for having me this evening.
It was our pleasure, sir. Thank you very much. Marty Appel, everybody, who is behind this new book, The Life and Death of a Yankee Captain, Munson.